Good morning. I'm going to be reading Philippians 4, 6 through 7, but before I read, can we bow and pray? Heavenly Father, as we gather here today, we ask that you put your loving hands around us, and we lift all our worries to you, and we thank you for reminding us in your word, you do not leave us, and we do not fear anything, and you are faithful and good. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
So Peggy reached out a couple weeks ago about the possibility of presenting a message, and I said I would love to, but I'm a teacher, so we're going to treat this like a classroom and go about it from that way. So I chose Philippians 4, 6 because it's one of my favorite verses. It's a good comfort that knows that God hears our prayers. But when I was thinking about women's Thanksgiving and thank offering, one particular preacher that I love to listen to, and she doesn't call herself a preacher, but a teacher of women, is Jen Wilkin. And she has a book that I brought called Women of the Word. And so I titled my message off the framework of her book. We're going to stray from the principles in here, but her purpose of this book is how to study the Bible with both your mind and your heart. And so we're going to hopefully do that today. It talks about in Philippians reaching peace and understanding. And when we study the word with both our heart and our mind, we can reach that peace and understanding of what God's intention is for our life and what his overall purpose is. Today I'm going to outline five points and additionally correlate that to five women in scripture that shows that purpose in the text. In order to gain both peace and understanding of what God's purpose is for our life, in order for us to reach a feeling of thanksgiving. So today our 5 points are: 1 is purpose, 2 is perspective, 3 is patience, 4 is process, and we're going to finish with prayer and thanksgiving. So we're going to start with her first point, which is when we come to study the word, we should know God's purpose. So I've outlined there, when Peggy asked me, what is your scripture? I said, I don't know. I have like 20. So I picked the overarching theme, but we are going to go through points of the Bible. So you're welcome to turn. Some of them I've also put on the screen. So Isaiah 40 verses 21 through 22 states, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. I'm terrified of grasshoppers and rodents, but every time God talks about his people, a lot of times it's in the form of an animal. And in this one in particular, I take offense to it because I hate grasshoppers. But aren't we such grasshoppers sometimes? We hop around and we are looking for intention and purpose in our lives. But did you not know that he had it planned from the beginning? So when we study the word, we should be seeing that purpose from a large perspective all the way down to those nitty-gritty details. Grasshoppers are tiny. They look at that microscopic details within the soil and the grass on a daily basis, but then they also see us as humans come along and see large figures way above them. And how does that not show us a picture of what God sees us like? He sees the minute and minuscule details of our life all the way down to pollen dust, but also sees us from an airplane window, all the broad picture to see the whole world and his purpose. I'm also going to highlight Acts chapter 14, verse 17. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their season. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. When I went to the Midwest and started studying agriculture education, and we went to a church that was notorious for training up people straight out of seminary or were currently in seminary. And so we always told them, if you have the chance, you should go try to take an agricultural class, because the Bible has so many farming references in it. And I think it would do good for some preachers to do that, to really understand the cultural text of this time. But this one's pretty simple, that when he gives us rain, it's for a purpose, right? It's to give growth to the crops for our season so that he can give us plenty of food and to fill our hearts with joy. Farming doesn't come without heartache and sacrifice, and he goes on to talk about that in the scriptures following. But he had a purpose for that rain, and he has a purpose for us. The last part that I want to bring it to is Genesis chapter 24, and I'm not going to read you the entire thing, but it outlines a woman in the Bible called Rebecca. And Rebecca is one that unintentionally fills God's purpose. She's a woman that's going to the well to get water for her family and ends up becoming the wife of Jesus' descendants. She goes to the well not knowing that somebody had prayed for a specific circumstance for her to happen, that somebody would ask her, "Do you have water?" And she would fulfill that promise and that purpose for that person, that servant, and that she would then also fill their camels, which was the sign from God that this servant needed to know that she was the fulfillment of this wish. And she then gets married and has lots of descendants in the line of Abraham. She was a lady that didn't know she was fulfilling God's purpose, but did so willingly. Our second point today is on perspective. So when we're studying the word, we should have purpose and see God's purpose in that word, but we should also have his perspective. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 13, verses 52. He said to them, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." This verse was interesting to me, and I started really diving into it and looking at what Jen had pointed out and what our scriptural text and reading into it. It's interesting that when they talk about this person, this owner of a house, that he has old things stored in his treasure or storeroom as well as new. We too have an Old Testament and a New Testament in the Bible. The Old Testament points to the old kingdoms, the old law, the rituals that the people of God had to follow. And a lot of times we shy away from reading and studying the Old Testament. But the Old Testament is what points to God's purpose and perspective for the whole rest of the Bible. It continually points to Jesus as our Lord and Savior and that plan and purpose that God had, as our text said, from the very beginning. In the New Testament points to the new kingdom and the fulfillment of those promises that he had in the Old Testament through the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. He fulfilled those things. He gave a new perspective to the old law that it took many, and even some still didn't understand what that new perspective took. When we study the Word of God, we need to balance the old perspective and the new in our teachings. Last time when I was sharing, I talked about how Ruth is my favorite lady in the Bible. So we're going to go now to Ruth chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people, and her gods go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Naomi was focused on the past, what Ruth's life would have was. She was going to leave and go to her homeland and go back to her past. But Ruth was determined to go forward, to go to the new land with new gods, with new people, and the only person she knew was Naomi. What are we going back to that we need to look at and examine? Is that the perspective and purpose God has for our life? Or do we need to focus on the new intention of God, Jesus Christ, and his death and resurrection for our sins? We're going to move on to our third point of studying the Bible. So we had purpose and we had perspective. And now we have my favorite, or least favorite, patience. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 8, verses 15. And this is another lovely agricultural lesson, and I'll spare you the details of soil and how crops grow. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. It takes a lot of patience to farm. Those of you that farm, I have friends that have about 4,000 acres of row crop ground. And the price of corn is very low right now. And they have been very diligently working to harvest that crop. However, they've had tons of rains, or their combine broke, their million-dollar piece of equipment, in the middle of harvest as they're trying to get their crops out. It takes a lot of patience to wait for a workman to come 4 days later when you're supposed to be harvesting, and then rains hit and you can't get your crop out of the ground. But we sow the seed anyway in good soil. I'm going to take us now to our woman of the Bible, Sarah. And some who know Sarah might say that's an interesting choice. But we're going to go to chapter 16 of Genesis and look at verse 1. Sarah was Abram's wife, and she could not initially bear children. And so she devised this plan to have his servant sleep with her husband so that they could have a child, and she would just assume that child as her own. So now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." She was sowing her seed on rocky soil. She devised her own plan with her own intuition, and it didn't pan out so well for her, for Hagar, or for their son. But God had a plan, and he planted seed on good soil. In Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 through 3, "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him." And Isaac was able to carry out Abraham's promise from God to be multiply throughout the generations. But so did Ishmael, his other son. Sometimes we plant seeds of our own tuition in rocky soil because we devised a plan. We can't wait for God's plan. We're not patient in our waiting time. But sometimes God has other plans and still fulfills his purpose no matter what our rocky soil plan is. He's going to plant seeds in good soil. So as you're planting seeds both in people and in your own life, make sure it is the will of God and that you are being patient and processing what his purpose is for that seed. We're going to go to number four, process. So as we study the word, we should have a process. We should not willy-nilly be studying the scriptures, picking out verses for our own tuition. Again, we should be studying both the Old and the New Testament to see God's purpose, plan, and process for our life. I'm going to start with, I don't remember what I put on the slide. Okay. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 24, verses 27. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. And initially when I read this scripture, I said, well, that's kind of weird. I got to do my outside work before I can have a place for me to sleep or to raise a family. But the intention of this is so true. We have to finish our work, get everything ready, and then rest in God's word. There is a process to studying the scriptures. There's a process to God's plan. In Jen's book here, she outlines three questions for that study, and those are up on the screen, but I'm going to outline those now. She says, when you're studying the word, one of the processes to look at is, what does the word say? What does it say? What are this actual text of scripture? Secondly, what does it mean? What is the context, both culturally, in the Bible, the verses around it? What is the meaning of that particular reference? And then lastly, how does it change me? So we're going to look at Rahab in Joshua chapter 2. And I'm not going to, again, read you the entire chapter, but Rahab was a lady that was part of God's process unknowingly. She was a prostitute woman that took in spies and hid them. She lied to people that were after them in order to save them for God's plan. Now, God doesn't condone or talk about the lies that she told, but what we do know is that Rahab knew little about God, but she did have some understanding of who he was and the stories of his reputation. Many would assume Rahab was just a pagan, a Canaanite, and a prostitute, would never be interested in God. Yet Rahab was willing to risk everything she had for God she barely knew. We must not gauge a person's interest in God based on their background, their lifestyle, or their appearance. We should let nothing get in the way of us telling people the good news. Rahab became part of God's process unknowingly and maybe unwillingly, it doesn't say. But she clearly jumped in to save these spies' lives and was blessed by God because of that. Her family was saved. And we're going to go to our last point, prayer. So when we're studying the scriptures, we should look at prayer. And we've highlighted that multiple times throughout the service today. I'm going to highlight it with James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So Hannah was somebody that initially I thought about who prayers, and specifically she has a prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2 about giving up her son. She was asked by God to dedicate Samuel for his purpose and to release him to his service. And she wrestled with that and allowed her to nurture him and raise him up until that point. And in chapter 2, she outlines a prayer that we're going to look at and study here further in detail, verses 1 through 10 of chapter 2. Jen lastly outlines four things, and this is another acronym, which in education we love a good acronym. And this acronym is PART. It starts with praise, admit, request, and thank. So we're outlining prayers. This is a really good way to write down our prayers, and we're going to actually see that in our text today. Verse 1 states, "Then Hannah prayed and said, 'My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance.'" She glorifies God in her prayer for who he is and what he has done in her life. In verse 2, she goes on to say, "There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away." In these verses, she is admitting and confessing to where her and other people have fallen short of God's plan and purpose for their lives. I'm going to go back to just before this text, to verse 26 in chapter 1 for our next point of request. "And she said to him, 'As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord.'" She requested to God, "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. She requested to God for her to have time with her son before he was given to God's service, and he granted that request. And then she praised and gave thanks to God for who he was and what he had done for her son and for her life. I think it's a beautiful way to structure prayer, to have praise, to admit, to request, and to thank God. Our last point is coming to the point of our message today. It is the woman's Thanksgiving service, and we have many ministries in our church that the women put on to show thanks and giving. So we're going to look at Philippians, our main text for today, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. And it has been read many a times, which I love, throughout the sermon today. But we're going to look at that structure of the PART acronym. So I am going to go back a slide once we've reached our text of Philippians 4 to that acronym: praise, admit, request, and thank. And as I read this scripture, I would like you to think about where that is in this scripture. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. We see praise immediately in verse 4. Praise to God, rejoicing in the Lord always, that the Lord is near. We see admission in verse 6 and a request at the same time. Admission of anxiousness. A lot of the times in our lives, we are anxious about money, about relationships, about plans, about things in our life, but we are not to be anxious about anything. If we are, we are to request help from God via prayer and thanksgiving. And that will in turn be given as peace, guarding our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So the last thing I will leave you with is verse 9. Again, I'm going to read it one more time, but it's our put it into practice moment. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word, for the women in your word who have taught us through their faults and through their service to you. God, I just thank you for your ultimate plan, purpose, patience, perseverance, prayer that you have put into our lives, that from the very beginning, you knew us and you knew the plan you had for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray that we are able to put this scripture into practice in our study in your word and as we reach those out in the world. It's everything you give us. In your name we pray. Amen.